This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
You know, it really wasn't that long ago that celebrating a big digital marketing win basically meant popping champagne because your business finally hit the number one spot on a legacy search engine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was the gold standard.
Right. Like, you fought the good fight, you optimized all the keywords, you climbed the mountain, and there you were, just sitting right at the top of the page.
Yep. You'd literally just hit refresh on your browser to see your company's name up there.
Exactly. It felt like the ultimate finish line, you know, where you could kind of just sit back and watch all that web traffic roll in.
Well, for a long time, the equation was very linear, which was comforting. I mean, you put in the architectural work on your website, you earn the rank, and the clicks were, well, they were almost guaranteed.
Because the search engine was just a directory.
Exactly. It acted as a directory, simply pointing the user to your domain so they could find their answer on their own.
But here is the really jarring reality that we are all waking up to today. Being number one on that traditional search page is, it's rapidly becoming completely meaningless.
It's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of folks.
It really is. I mean, think about your own habits lately. What happens when an AI bot just reads your site, synthesizes the information, and then answers your customer's question directly at the very top of their screen?
Right. It gives them the exact paragraph they need.
Yeah, before they even have a reason to scroll down, let alone click a link.
The user journey simply ends right there in the chat interface. The customer gets their answer, they leave satisfied, and meanwhile, the website that actually funded and provided that underlying information is left completely in the dark.
You get zero traffic.
Zero analytics data and zero chance to convert that reader into an actual paying client.
So the game hasn't just changed. It is an entirely new sport. And if you are listening to this right now, chances are you are someone who wants to stay ahead of the curve. You want to understand this massive shift in how information is actually discovered today.
So you aren't left behind while the digital landscape just completely shifts under your feet.
Exactly. So today, for our deep dive, we are pulling from a really fascinating piece of source material. It's an article by Chris Bradley from Double Dome Digital Marketing.
And it outlines what he calls a 90-day AI citation sprint.
Right, a 90-day AI citation sprint. Our mission today is to figure out exactly how a business can stop fighting for those obsolete clicks and instead earn a coveted spot on an AI tool's internal trusted sources list.
It is a highly systematic approach to a very modern problem. We are moving from an era of assumed clicks to an era of generative answers.
Because relying solely on traditional SEO right now is, it's basically like showing up to a final exam with a freshly sharpened number 2 pencil, only to walk into the classroom and realize the entire test is oral.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it.
You just brought the totally wrong tools for the environment you were actually in.
What's fascinating here is that these generative AI platforms, your ChatGPTs, your Google Geminis, your Claudes, they do not operate the way we are used to.
Right, they aren't just reading keywords.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't just pull vendor suggestions out of thin air. And more importantly, they absolutely do not care who is paying the most money for a temporary banner ad or a sponsored link.
Which is a huge shift.
Huge. They operate on a completely different paradigm based entirely on something called programmatic trust.
Programmatic trust. I mean, it sounds like a concept from a sci-fi novel, but if these recommendation engines aren't looking at who bought the biggest ad, they have to be filtering the data somehow, right?
Yeah, they have to have some kind of criteria.
Since the bots are essentially, okay, information game. Let's break that down because our source puts a ton of weight on this concept.
It's essentially the core of the whole strategy.
Information gain basically means you are bringing something genuinely new to the internet's table. We are talking about original research, proprietary metrics, and human-first case studies.
Yes. The things an AI can't just invent on its own.
Right. It is the mathematical opposite of that thin, auto-generated competitor text we see flooding the web right now.
Exactly. When a brand relies on safe, boilerplate descriptions, you know, the standard, we provide excellent customer service and high-quality, synergistic solutions kind of corporate speak.
Oh, man, the synergistic solutions, it's everywhere.
It really is. But the machine immediately labels them as a commodity. There is zero information gain in that sentence.
Because it's seen it a million times.
Literally millions of times. The bot has already ingested that exact phrasing across 10,000 other websites during its training phase. It adds no novel value to its neural network, so it simply bypasses you.
It just has no mathematical incentive to cite you as a source.
None at all.
There is a quote from the source material that I think captures this required mindset shift perfectly. Bradley writes, quote, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
I love that. You are cultivating an ecosystem of authority over time.
Yeah, not just handing over a credit card for a quick fix of visibility. The bots really need to see a deep, sustained root system of knowledge.
They really do.
But, you know, I am trying to put myself in the shoes of the machine here, and I see a potential flaw with this.
Oh, what kind of flaw?
Well, if AI is essentially this giant world-eating blender of internet data, just scraping and mixing billions of words together at lightning speed, how does it actually distinguish between thin auto-generated text and a genuine human-first case study?
That's a very fair question.
Like, if I just use an AI to write a totally fake case study, doesn't it all just look like standard text data to the algorithm?
Ah, but see, the bots don't just take your word for it on your own domain. They verify your claims through unstructured data channels across the wider web.
Unstructured data channels.
Yeah, so it is not just about what you publish on your own company blog. It is about whether your terminology matches the high-level, nuanced vocabulary used by actual industry experts elsewhere.
Oh, I see.
Crucially, the AI is looking to see if independent third-party sources are actively validating your reputation out in the wild.
So it's actively seeking out corroborating witnesses. It wants to see if the neighborhood actually agrees with what you are claiming about your own house.
Exactly. If you claim to be the foremost expert in, say, commercial HVAC installation, the AI checks to see if other reputable hubs in the commercial real estate space are mentioning your specific proprietary data.
Or referencing your unique methodologies.
Right. And if those unstructured external signals are missing, the AI assumes your claims are just empty marketing copy and filters you out.
Wow, okay. Since the AI demands that level of real, validated expertise, we have to look at how a company actually builds that corroborating evidence. And this is where we move from the theory into the actual architectural process with the first half of this 90-day AI citation sprint.
Yes, getting into the practical steps. Phase one covers days 1 through 30, and the entire focus here is building your first-party hub.
Because you can't get third-party validation if you don't have a monumental asset for them to actually validate.
Precisely. According to the source, you start by isolating the primary buyer prompt. You don't just guess what to write about.
You actually look at your data.
Right. You look at your internal sales data.
Yeah.
You dig into your CRM. You review the notes on lost deals.
Finding the real questions.
Exactly. You figure out the exact corporate pain points your clients are asking about right before they sign a contract. Then you build one deeply comprehensive technical guide that answers that exact question.
And this asset must be incredibly dense with value to achieve that information gain threshold we talked about earlier. We are talking hard numbers, very clear operational steps, frameworks, and absolutely zero superficial marketing text.
None. It has to be purely informational. A deep well of highly specific expertise that simply does not exist anywhere else online.
Okay, let's unpack this logic here. If phase one is like spending 30 days meticulously drafting the ultimate flawless resume that perfectly details your unique skills without any fluff.
Right, the perfect resume.
Then we need someone to actually read it, which takes us to phase two. This covers days 31 through 60, and it focuses entirely on external validation.
You have the resume, now you need the references. Phase two is about systematically securing manual mentions and links to that core guide you just built.
Across credible sources.
Yes, across three credible industry portals, newsletters, or podcasts.
So to stick with the analogy, this is like getting three highly respected leaders in your specific field to actually stand up in a crowded room and publicly vouch for that flawless resume you just wrote.
That's exactly what it is.
You are creating those corroborating witnesses the AI is looking for.
And you can see the structural symbiosis at play here. No respected industry portal or podcast is going to link back to a page of boilerplate marketing fluff.
Right, they'd ruin their own reputation.
Exactly. You cannot earn the external validation if you haven't first built the high-value asset in phase one. But conversely, that incredible technical guide you spent a month building is practically invincible to the AI without those unstructured cross-references validating it in phase two.
The asset provides the gravity, and the validation provides the orbit.
That's a great way to summarize it.
You build the orchard, and then you get the town leaders to talk about how great your apples are.
Yes, exactly.
But wait, I'm thinking about how algorithms actually parse data now. Let's say I have this amazing guide and industry podcasts are suddenly linking to it.
Sounds good so far.
But earlier you said AI is just a giant data filter parsing billions of points. If my company's digital footprint is a mess, like if my address is outdated on one site and my company name is abbreviated on another, does the AI even know to credit me for those podcast mentions?
Ah, that is the exact vulnerability Phase 3 and Phase 4 are designed to fix.
Okay, good.
Having great information and references is completely useless if the AI bot gets confused trying to map those references back to your business.
Right.
Phase 3 spans days 61 through 75, and it focuses on linguistic alignment, or what the technical source calls programmatic entity resolution.
Right. The source notes that this means standardizing your Google business profile, your LinkedIn page, and core directories so that your corporate name, your geographic footprint, and your core service descriptions are completely identical everywhere.
Down to the absolute letter.
The machine needs a pristine data map. But see, I have to admit, I am a bit skeptical of how strict this really needs to be.
Thought so.
Is entity resolution really just making sure you didn't write out the word street on your LinkedIn page and then use the abbreviation ST period on your Google profile? I mean, we are talking about incredibly advanced generative AI models here.
Very advanced, yes.
These things can pass the bar exam, they can write poetry, they can write code. Are they really so fragile that a tiny abbreviation discrepancy throws them off?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of machine learning, it is not about the AI being fragile at all. It is about computational friction.
Computational friction.
You have to remember that a machine learning algorithm isn't reading words the way we read a novel, where we kind of lazily infer context. It is parsing billions of data points to generate an answer in about 0.2 seconds.
That is fast.
Exactly. So when it finds inconsistencies, even minor ones like street versus ST period, or a slight variation in how you describe your services, it creates a micro level of mathematical doubt.
Oh, so it's essentially a tiny speed bump in the processing power.
Precisely. Imagine it like a massive database merge happening in real time. If the algorithm is trying to instantaneously serve up the most confident, trusted answer to a user's prompt, it calculates probability.
Right. It wants to be certain.
And if your mismatched data splits its confidence score, say it's only 85% sure Acme Street and Acme ST period are the exact same entity, it will always default to the path of least resistance.
Meaning it just ignores you.
It will simply drop your ambiguous data and pull a competitor whose digital footprint aligns perfectly at 100% confidence. Removing that computational friction by ensuring your footprint is mathematically identical across all platforms is how you streamline entity resolution.
Wow. Okay. So you are just removing any mathematical reason for the bot to second guess itself, just saving it computational cycles.
Yes. Making it as easy as possible for the bot.
And once you have smoothed out those speed bumps in phase 3, you move to phase 4, which takes us from day 76 to day 90. This is called community synthesis.
This is the phase where you take that perfectly aligned, validated authority and inject it into the places where real human conversations are actually happening.
Out in the forums.
Yes. You deliver substantive, highly authoritative answers to relevant discussions on Q&A platforms like Reddit and Quora.
Our source mentions that doing this feeds live retrieval augmented generation models, or ARAG models, with real-world practitioner proof. Now, I'm assuming there is a very specific reason our models prioritize a platform like Reddit over a polished corporate blog.
Oh, absolutely. Our Grave models are fundamentally different from the AI that just relies on static historical training data. They pull from live, real-time databases to give users up-to-the-minute answers.
Oh, I see.
And they prioritize platforms like Reddit because those platforms utilize peer-to-peer upvoting and conversational consensus. To the algorithm, an upvoted answer on a community forum signals authentic, real-world human troubleshooting.
Rather than static, biased marketing copy.
Exactly.
By actively participating in these community platforms with substantive answers, you are injecting your brand directly into the live streams of data that these bots are constantly drinking from.
You're putting yourself right at the source.
So, we've built the deep content, we've got the industry validation, we smoothed out our linguistic footprint, and we are actively answering questions in the community.
It's a lot of work.
It is. But human formatting, like bold text, nice fonts, or clean web layouts, well, that means nothing to a bot. Translating all this into actual machine language brings us to the technical backbone of the entire operation.
Algorithms are entirely blind to aesthetics. You could have the most beautifully designed website in the entire world, but if the underlying architecture cannot communicate with the AI scraper, your information is just lost.
The specific solution the source highlights for this is advanced JSON-LD structured schema code.
Yes, schema code is vital.
Basically, it's a way to format your real-world experience, your proprietary data, and your entity resolution into an easily indexable syntax that the machine can digest instantly without having to guess what your page is about.
Because without this structured data, you're basically forcing the AI to expend massive amounts of computational energy trying to infer the purpose of your content.
The source has a brilliant, though honestly slightly terrifying, analogy for this exact scenario. Bradley writes that without this JSON-LD schema code, a website is like, quote, a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in, end quote.
It is a really stark image, but mathematically accurate. I mean, you can pour all the external validation, community synthesis, and great content you want into the top of the funnel, but if the underlying code architecture can't contain and structure it for the machine, it all just spills out into the digital void.
The AI just cannot retain it.
Right.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. I like to think of this JSON-LD schema code like putting a very clear, scannable barcode on a piece of fruit at the grocery store.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, if you don't have that barcode, the cashier has to stop, pick up the fruit, inspect it, figure out if it's a Fuji apple or a Honeycrisp, manually look up the code in their binder, and then type it in. It takes forever.
It's a lot of friction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you have that schema code, that digital barcode dash machine, the machine just scans it in a millisecond, knows exactly what it is, categorizes it perfectly, and just moves right on to the next item.
And because building that barcode is highly technical work, I mean, it involves server-side data pipelines and updating tracking scripts, the source makes a really strong point that business leaders and executives should not be doing this themselves.
Oh, definitely not.
Outsourcing this technical overhead is crucial. An executive needs to focus on strategy, not trying to learn how to write JSON-LD syntax.
And if the schema code is perfectly implemented, I'm guessing it totally changes how a business tracks its return on investment, right? We aren't looking at generic traffic spikes anymore, so we need a totally different dashboard to see if this is actually working.
Exactly. Executives need absolute transparency into their data. They need clear dashboards that provide a simple binary reality, completely eliminating the bot waste and spam traffic that usually muddies up traditional analytics.
Just clear numbers.
Right. They should be able to look at a screen and see exactly how their technical assets are performing in real time.
There is another great quote from the source about how this solves an age-old marketing headache. He writes, quote, "Attribution can sometimes feel like a marketing game of Clue. Everyone has a theory, nobody is completely sure, and somehow Google Ads is always in the room."
It's so true. Traditional attribution often relies on educated guessing and overlapping tracking cookies. It's messy.
Very messy.
But by structuring the data explicitly for the AI using schema code and utilizing modern tracking tools, you get a clear, unobstructed view of your actual ROI. You know exactly what asset drove the AI to recommend you.
Okay, let's bring this all together and look at the actual timeline. Say you've spent 90 days overhauling your digital presence. You've built the first-party hub, you secured the external validation, you aligned your linguistics, synthesized with the community, and wrapped your entire site in beautiful JSON-LD schema code.
You've done the sprint.
You've done the sprint. How long before the bot actually re-scrapes the web and builds this into its answers? Like, when do you actually get the apples from the orchard?
Well, the source notes that it generally takes 30 to 45 days for modern retrieval augmented models to index and reflect this updated authority data.
Okay, so about a month or so.
Right. You finish the 90-day sprint, and within the next month or so, the mathematical reality of the internet begins to actually shift in your favor.
But if traditional SEO gave us Google Analytics and keyword rankings, how are we tracking success in this new paradigm? I mean, we need to actually see the bots citing us.
Yes. You monitor very specific metrics through AI-focused analytics tools. First, you look at source link citations, meaning, are the AI platforms literally linking your URLs as the source of their generated answers?
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, you track category brand share of voice within the generated text itself. So when a user asks a broad industry question, is the AI actually mentioning your brand name in its explanation?
Just putting your name right in the chat.
Exactly. And finally, you track the direct inbound referrals and closed contracts that result from those specific citations.
And as a huge bonus, the source points out that doing all of this AI optimization doesn't hurt your legacy Google SEO at all.
Not at all.
It actually enhances it because you are drastically improving your structural data, your loading speeds, and your informational depth, which are all things that legacy algorithms still reward anyway.
It is truly a rising tide that lifts all digital ships. You are optimizing for the future while fortifying the present.
So what does this all mean? Ultimately, the goal here is to stop renting temporary ad traffic. You stop paying the digital toll booth every single day just to get a few fleeting eyes on your site. And instead, you invest in building a permanent, high-value lead asset.
You become the indisputable authority.
Exactly. For you listening right now, consider your own business. If an AI were to summarize your digital footprint today, right this second, what would it actually say?
It's a daunting thought.
It really is. Are you projecting undeniable, structured authority, or are you just a bucket with no bottom spilling boilerplate marketing text into the void? The rules of discovery have fundamentally changed, and it is time to build the orchard. Thank you for diving into the deep end with us today. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep building those trusted sources.
This raises an important question, though, and it leaves us with one fascinating implication to consider. If artificial intelligence becomes perfectly capable of summarizing, filtering, and organizing all the world's digital data instantaneously, well, digital information itself becomes entirely ubiquitous and cheap, which means the most premium, highly valued currency in the future of business won't be digital at all. It will be the unscrappable, offline, deeply human physical experiences that a bot simply cannot replicate.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.